little bit brighter. So it looks like a little bit brighter today. So you guys, you know, it's been about a week. It's been, you know, a week since our retreat. And I don't know, how many of you guys, when you got home, just crashed? Raise your hand if you just took a dive when you got home. Glenn, Kevin. Yeah, I don't know, maybe you guys can still keep going. You know, maybe you guys can, Sarah's like, how was the retreat? I'm like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I gotta hit the bed, you know, I'm just so tired. Sarah laughs because when I'm really tired, I can't put sentences together. Like, I sound like I've been drinking or something. Like, I start slurring my words, I'm so tired. She's like, just go to bed. I just can't talk with you right now. But you know what, I don't know about you guys, but I've been glowing kind of all week from the retreat. You know, let's say after retreat, just kind of, I went back, I looked at all the pictures, you know, I went through my sunshine mail, you know, and watched the videos that Joe put together, you know, and it just kind of brings back. And really, there's a part of me that just doesn't want to come off that mountain, you know, like it's just when you're up there and you're like, you're with the Lord, you're with God's people, and you're just there, and we're all there together, and there's part of me that just is like, just wants to hold on, like, I don't want to come off, I don't want to come down. Last night, during the senior send-off, you know, like, because, you know, like, at the retreat, when we're worshiping, and I don't know why this is, but, like, when we're worshiping, like, everyone's just kind of, like, just really, like, into the worship, you know, and last night we were singing, and so after the song, you guys remember at the retreat, after the song, we just, like, yeah, you know, like this, you know, and people just kind of like that, and so after, like, we were worshiping last night, and so after the song, one of the songs, I'm like, you know, and people nice, like, so there's a couple next to me that, like, hadn't gone to the retreat, and they're just like, what are you doing, you know, I'm like, I just, don't you remember? Oh, you went at the retreat. You know, like, you know, you get that little, just that kind of worship that you know, that we're all kind of engaged in. And but the good thing is, you guys, is that the same God that was there at Machindo is the same God that's here, you know, at OCC. And so it doesn't matter if we're Machindo or here. It's like God's Spirit is still here, and we can still worship Him with all vigor and all our hearts and everything we've got. It doesn't have to be once a year, right? It has to be. It's like any time. That same God is here, where we can just, like, just worship Him. And you know, I think for me, I don't know about you guys, if you kind of, for those of you who went to the retreat, after you've kind of, like, processed and just kind of looked back, but I think for the highlight for me was the open mic time. And I appreciate how open our group was, and just how vulnerable our group was, and just sharing together. Many of you guys shared, like, just some painful trials that you've been through the past weeks, or the past months, or even the past years, just shared, like, and others were open about, you know, their weaknesses and just some of the things they were just struggling with. And I've always told those who are considering to be Christ followers that, you know, becoming a follower of Christ does not mean that you know, their problems end, that, you know, once you become a Christ follower, everything's glorious, and that your problems will be magically whisked away, or that your weaknesses will disappear overnight. And I just always want to tell people, you know, this is what the Word says. It just doesn't mean that, like, once you start following Him, that everything is going to be just great. So I don't want to give people a false hope, because the Bible talks about that. And at the same time, there's joy, there's true joy, and there's true blessing. And there's always hope in following Jesus Christ. But there will always be trials. And as we've been learning in Metamorphosis, as we morph, God uses those trials to shape us. But there's something else, you guys, there's something else that comes out of our trials and out of our weaknesses. There's something else that I want to share with you out of God's Word this morning, that is actually, that comes out of weakness, that comes out of trial. I know we've been talking about how God shapes us, God makes us more like Him as we kind of go through these trials. But there's something else. So why don't you guys open your Bibles with me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul tells us, he shares with us, there is something else that comes out of weakness, something else that comes out of trial. Yeah, not only that God uses that to give us pressure to shape us to become more like Christ, but there's something else that he talks about this morning. And look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in, we'll look at just one verse right now, verse 7. It says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Okay? We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. All right. So I want to give you a brief background of where Paul is coming from in this passage. What he's been talking about leading up to this, because I know it's kind of jumping into the middle of the passage, he's been talking about our confidence and boldness. Confidence and boldness that we have in Christ. If you're in your Bibles and you kind of move your finger back into chapter 3, you look at chapter 3, verse 4, if you put your finger on that, it says, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. And what he's talking about is our confidence as ministers of this new covenant. Remember last night, for those of you who were at the senior send-off last night, Bill Schumann talked about it. He was talking about this guy who was going through college, and he was telling us that there's got to be, as you go off to college, there's got to be greater purpose when you're going there. Of course you're supposed to study. Of course you're supposed to learn. You're supposed to grow in your knowledge. But he's like, yeah, there's got to be purpose, greater purpose. And he was telling us about this guy who he asked them, you know, at the end of your 4 years at college, what was the greatest time for you, the greatest moment? And this guy said, easily, the greatest moment for me is when my roommate came to know Christ, when I led him to Christ, when God used me to bring him to Christ. And this is kind of where Paul's at. He's like, look, you guys have been made, you can have confidence because you've been made competent in ministering as ministers of the gospel. And if you go down a little bit further to verse 12, he says, therefore, in chapter 3, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, okay? So he's talking about our competence and our boldness that we now have in Christ Jesus, in our relationship with him, all right? Competence, boldness, confidence in him, okay? But then what happens is he takes kind of a weird turn. He takes kind of a twist or kind of a weird turn in what he's talking about. And he's to the Corinthians. And this is the picture he gives to us. If we could go to the next slide. This is the picture he gives to us, all right? It's the idea of picturing people as jars of clay, or some translations call it earthen vessels. And it's basically, it's a metaphor. We have this treasure in jars of clay. It's a metaphor. Back in ancient times, a jar of clay was symbolized, or was a metaphor, a picture for human weakness. Okay, for human weakness. And this makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know. A lot of us haven't like handled pottery or thought about pottery as much as Joe has, but it makes sense. I mean, if you look at pottery, particularly old pottery, things you see in the museum, like pottery is fragile. Isn't it? It chips easy. It breaks easy. It cracks easily. And when I heard, when last week, if we back up to last week, when I heard some of you sharing about yourselves at the retreat, this is what I heard you saying. This is the picture you're giving. Like, look, we are jars of clay. We are, for those of you who listen to Christian music, this is where the band Jars of Clay got their name from. When I heard you guys speaking last week, many of you are saying, look, this is us. We are weak. We have things that we can't get together. We have things that we're just like, oh, just I'm just I struggle so much in this area. I battle this area so much. There's so many things that I see that I just it drives me crazy about myself. And you know, look, pottery today, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever, there's a pottery place down in Royal Oak that you can go to, and you can actually go there and you can paint pottery and you can make stuff. It's a really cool place, and you can throw there, you can paint stuff, and you know, there's different glazes that you can put on the pottery. And I mean, I don't know what ancient pottery was like back in the day. I imagine it was much more fragile, but now you can put glazes on there that make it really strong or make it look really shiny. And I think a lot of us are that way today. A lot of us have this glaze on us that make us look shiny, that make us look good. But man, if we allow each other to get inside a little bit more, we all realize that we're weak, you know. And I think that's beautiful. I think last week when I heard you guys sharing, it's like, man, we allowed each other, almost shared where you get past the glaze part and you can kind of see on the inside and just realize that, man, we are earthen vessels. We are jars of clay. But Paul also says that we have treasure in these jars of clay. This treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know, so when we talk about this treasure, you only have to look one verse back. If you look at your verse 7, you look one verse back, you can tell what this treasure is. He talks about it specifically. Of course, you can probably guess to know what that is, but he says in verse 6, "For God said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." So what is this treasure? If you look at the picture, I mean, this picture doesn't, you kind of see the light coming out of this picture. But what this is it is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the light from Jesus Christ. It's like we are just containers. We're just containers, and we hold this surpassing power inside us. Even though we are cracked and weak, and if we let each other know ourselves, and if we're in with each other, we can kind of see that. The longer we're together, the more we get to know each other, we can look, I know it. I know that you're cracked. You know that I'm cracked. You know that I'm weak. But there's something inside of us that's powerful, that is amazing, that is huge, that is big. All right, and that's Christ in you. And so this is the picture, a fragile and weak jar of clay with something powerful in us. See, he's writing to the city of Corinth, the people in Corinth. And the city of Corinth was an affluent place, okay? I mean, I guess in some ways you can kind of say, in some ways, it was kind of like Rochester, like Troy, but it was different. It was more urban, okay? It wasn't like suburban. And so it was affluent. It was a place of influence. It was full of shakers and movers, okay? So picture a city like that. So I don't know if you guys have been to, I mean, you guys have traveled a lot. I know you guys have. And so I don't know if you've been to the city of New York or how well you know New York. But I liken in some ways the city of Corinth to New York City, you know, a place where there's just shakers and movers there. And in New York City, like Corinth, a person's glory is kind of displayed through the status of their career, or if their apartment's on the Upper West Side. You know, there's a certain culture in New York. And I'm not so familiar with the culture, but my sister lives in Brooklyn, and I've talked with her quite a bit, and she says, look, you know, in New York, she says there's this kind of this kind of undertow of culture that there's a status if you work more. People will drop it in. They'll say, look, oh man, I was 60 hours at the office last week, you know, and there's just some kind of like badge of honor or status, an upward movement if you work a lot. Like if you're like 60 hours, 70, oh, I was just in the office working, you know, when people drop that in, I don't know, it's kind of, it's not here maybe, but there, that's what it is. And people will talk like that. And in Corinth, it was kind of the same way. Paul says, no. See, our glory is not from that. It's not from the wealth. It's not from the status. It's not from the strength from the on the outside. Paul says it's the exact opposite. He says it's like us being these weakened vessels, us knowing that we are all like cracked and weak. Where the glory comes from is that we contain something so amazing inside of us. In fact, being weak and being a cracked vessel, the light shines even greater in our cracked and weak vessels. Right? He's showing this contrast here. Look, it is even shown glory not in our strength, not in our wealth, you know, not in our power and our own ability, but he's like, What is most beautiful is that there is something powerful, something beautiful, something light that is contained in something so weak and so brittle and so fragile. That's when beauty is shown. So he's like saying, look, Christ is more evident, you guys. Christ is more evident in our weakness. And I love this picture. I mean, I guess I just want you, if you leave today, I just want you to have this picture of just like, oh, there is beauty contained in us. Remember, I just want to share this because I know we shared some at the retreat, but I remember Ting Shi coming up and saying, she had it right. She's like, I give thanks to God because, you know, normally if it wasn't for Christ, I wouldn't be up here sharing. Like I'm not one to speak up out in front of a group. I came here 5 years ago from China, and my English isn't strong, but this is me. But because of what I contain, that's why I'm up here. That's why I have the boldness to be here, to be in front of you sharing this, and I give thanks to God. Or do you remember Alan? Alan was sharing just about some of his weaknesses that he was sharing, and just he's like, man, I'm even aware of how sometimes my weaknesses affect other people. And I got up afterwards, I said the same thing. I'm like, there's sometimes, remember we were talking about point A, point B, the little B's inside. And one time during our small group, you know, when we broke off in our small groups, I'm like, we're talking about what motivates us to get to point B. And I said, you know, one of the things that motivates me to get to point B, that picture of heaven, is that I just get so sick of point A. You know, I'm just sick of the point A portion of who I recognize my weaknesses, you know. And Alan was saying the same things. Like, I even realize how it affects other people, you know. But I wanted to say, like, did you guys see when Alan was up, when he was up front and he was leading worship, you know? To me, when he was up there and he's leading us in worship, what I see is I see this. You know, I see power up there. And I see beauty up there when he's like, he's just giving us words that are kind of flowing through him. I'm like, man, as cracked as you shared that you are, I see Christ in you. I see that power in you. And this is how we can be encouraged in our weaknesses, you guys. This is how we can be when we're together, when you're in life, and when you're like, oh, I'm just so pushed down by by sufferings or by my own weakness so pushed down. The great thing is that beauty is like coming out of there. Beauty's coming out of there. Or last night, you guys, last night I was laughing kind of like inside when you remember Tim was up front and he was talking to Eric and he was saying he was appreciating how much Eric knew him. You know, he's like, sometimes it scares me how much you know about me. You know, like, I just don't even, and you got this feeling, he's like, I just don't even want you to know me that well, but you just know me that well. And so it's kind of like, you know too much about me, man. But what do you say? He's like, I'm just like this, like, right? I'm just like this, and you know that stuff about me. My parents were there, and they're like, shh, you know, but in Tim, you see, in Tim, there's something that surpasses, you know, there's something that is all surpassing power that is from God and not from us. And Paul is just saying, hey, when you look at me, I just want you to know that any power that you see in me is not from me. It's, I am this, and what's inside of me is what's gorgeous. It's what's inside of me is what's beautiful. What's inside of me is what's powerful. So that's what makes it so just such a gorgeous picture, such a beautiful picture. Do you see that contrast? I mean, such a gorgeous, beautiful contrast. Look what Paul has to say in verse 8. He says this. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Okay? This is how it's expressed in Paul's life. This is how this picture is expressed in Paul's life. Many of you know Paul's history, what he's gone through. You know, he's out there going from city to city, year after year, just kind of going, oh, this God is just too good. This God is just too amazing. I've got to share this. I mean, I've been called to share this. This is my purpose in life, is to get out there and share with as many people as possible this good news. But we know that Paul has like been jailed, been in prison, been beaten, been persecuted. And what he's saying is like, look, I'm pushed in on every side, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed. There's just so many things coming around me, but I'm not in despair. I feel like I've been abandoned. Like some of my partners, even in the gospel, have like gone off the other way, but I'm not abandoned. I'm not alone. I've been struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I've been jailed. I've been beaten, but I'm still here. And what he's saying is like, look, how it's being expressed in my life is that the only reason that I am standing, that this jar of clay is standing, is because the power of Christ in me helps me to stand. The reason why I keep walking, the reason why I keep going to city after city, the reason why I'm still able to share the gospel like I do, is because Christ's power upholds me and sustains me. And you guys, this is the same for you. Seniors, the next 4 years, man, I don't know, you're going to experience in the next 4 years, there's going to be times you're like, wow, I wasn't expecting this. You know, this is not what I planned for. And things will come down and they'll kind of crush you. And again, we got to give thanks. What we've been learning is give thanks in those times, because those are the times when God's showing, I love you and I want to grow you. I want to change to become more like Christ, right? But it's also demonstrating to people around you that, man, there is something powerful inside you. And so what it looks like, it's never like this. It's never like when you are in the midst of circumstances, when you're in the midst of a trial. For Christians, it's never like, it never has to be where it's like, I've got it under control, right? We don't have to say, like, we don't have to present ourselves, stick out our chest, flex our biceps and go, I've got it. You know, it's smooth. I got it. You know, I'm under a lot of strain right now, a lot under pressure right now. Things are falling apart in my world, but I'm okay, you know, because I am strong, right? That never has to be the case. It doesn't have to look like that. But what it can look like is like, look, I'm in pain right now. It's hard. It is like painful. It is like, it's a struggle. But you see, there's something inside me that's holding me up. There's something that's like keeping me walking. There's something that's giving me hope. There's something that's moving me along in life. And I'll tell you who it is, you know, it's Jesus Christ in me, right? That's what we can say to people as they look at us. We never have to put on a facade or anything like that. We can just point them to Jesus Christ. He brings it back to Jesus. Verse 10, he says, "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we are alive, we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Right? Right? So he brings it back to that whole picture of Jesus Christ of there's that death, yeah, there's that death, but the power is in the life, right? The power is in the life. And still, with us, people can hopefully see, yeah, there was death and the sin is still there. It's still there. Pain is still there. But the life is to be revealed in us. The life is to be in people around you that can see, they can look and say, wow, how does she go through that and still have hope? Right? It's that picture. He brings it back, all the way back to the cross where it began. All the way back to the cross. Here's the closing word. Look with me. Skip down a little ways to verse 16. This is how we can kind of apply it. It says, verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." Right? Look, when we get older, or maybe now, it's true, our bodies are declining. You guys are all young. I can feel death in me a little bit today. I can feel death in me a little bit today. Right? But, you know, and so, yeah, our bodies are... We're getting older. We're getting more wrinkled. We're dying. We're dying, right? But inwardly, life is becoming fuller and fuller in us as we walk within Him. Life is getting fuller and fuller in Him. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Man, in the midst of circumstance, you guys, there are momentary troubles, because I know in the times of troubles, sometimes it feels like a long, long, long time. But we know that there is something being changed, something growing in us, something that's, you know, that we can have hope, because, man, that life is being coming to fruition. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. And you guys can probably think about it now. I mean, I know some of you are where the season is of life right now. For most of you, it's like, I haven't started school yet. It's August. I'm savoring up my last few days before I go off to college and go back to school. I talked with some people from IA yesterday. They're like, yeah, we're going back to school like next week, you know. So it's over for us. It's over. You know, we're done, you know, but we're going back to school. So I know some of you, like, right now, it's like some of you are like, well, this is, you know, I mean, life is pretty good. But maybe there's some, or in the future, we can look at our troubles, because sometimes they seem long, and they can go for years sometimes. But for our light, and in momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, because, boy, that's our circumstances. That's what we see all around us. It's like, but what is unseen? For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And this, you guys, this is temporary, but what is inside of us, that kind of hope, that kind of light is eternal, you know? So we can walk away with hope. We can walk away with saying, look, that's why Paul says, he's like, I boast in my weaknesses, you guys. I boast in them because I know where I'm the weakest, that is where Christ shines the greatest in me. That is where Christ shines the greatest in me. Why don't we close in prayer and respond in song?